happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm Ann Northrup, and we're switching back and forth, I see. I think I have to make the font bigger on the print on my computer so I don't have to keep staring at it like that.
Right.
Okay. Maybe you'll teach me how.
Well, okay.
But not right this minute.
Lots of news. Ron DeSantis, you may have heard of him. He got an honorary degree from the scandal-plagued Liberty University this week. Banned abortion after 6 weeks and vows more revenge on Disney.
Busy week, but not necessarily productive in the end. Donald Trump Jr. Is calling on the GOP to stop boycotting Budweiser beer over its alliance with a trans influencer.
The Republican Attorney General of Missouri severely restricted gender-affirming care for minors and adults.
And we have other stories like that from around the country, but also some progress in Colorado and Washington State.
The ringleader of the criminal gang that was drugging, robbing, and killing gay men in New York City was arrested. And there was also the sentencing this week for the man who made violent threats to a dictionary company over their updated gender definitions.
No one's safe anymore. President Biden picked a gay man and a gay icon to head his arts commission.
It was a week of tremendous losses of important LGBTQ figures this week. One of the top gay book editors of all time, a groundbreaking transgender writer of fantasy novels, a New York gay and AIDS activist and investigative journalist, a Florida gay activist, attorney, and journalist, the music producer who made Madonna a pioneer in gay male erotica, and the founder of an enduring LGBTQ think tank.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, the first generation of activists and out people is sort of aging out, and we get a lot of these stories now. And we are following the crackdown on LGBTQ people and organizations that is intensifying in Uganda.
But India's High Court is hearing the plea for marriage equality this week, and it sounds sympathetic.
Fingers crossed. Good news from Arkansas. Yes, Arkansas.
And I'll have reviews of Josh Groban and Natalie Ashford and Sweeney Todd. Fat Ham, the Pulitzer Prize-winning gay black riff on Hamlet, and Shocked, the Broadway musical with an LGBTQ creative team. And why aren't we suing Fox for defamation?
Oh! I have to tell you, someone sent out a list of Andy Borowitz stories, satirical stories related to Fox News and this settlement, and one of them said, Fox News to use hiring of Kimberly Guilfoyle for insanity defense.
We could show her picture and you would agree with us.
I suspect some people have her vividly in their mind.
Well, Ron DeSantis continues to go insane. He signed a bill now he had signed a 15-week abortion ban. Now he signed another one. He's always wants to up it for 6 weeks. But the race for the GOP nomination is apparently a bidding war to see who can be the most oppressive. And while DeSantis made Florida state where you don't need a permit to open carry an AR-15, he's insisting on metal detectors on his book tour because he doesn't trust all those Second Amendment enthusiasts. This is not going down well in New Hampshire. He's also charging people a minimum of $150 to be in his presence in New Hampshire. That's not going well. But, you know, and he also, I just learned, he appointed somebody from the First Liberty Institute, their chief counsel, Jordan Pratt, to the bench of the Court of Appeals in Florida. It's just, this is the same institute that gave us Matthew Kaczmarek, who did the abortion pill decision.
Well, most political pundits have already given up on DeSantis as a viable choice for the president and the Republican nomination. Trump seems to be squashing him more and more every day that DeSantis does this stuff. But DeSantis is frantically running around, including to Liberty University, where he got an honorary degree.
It was a degree in trans bashing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he talked about no puberty blockers for trans youth, no surgery for trans youth, which no one is doing. And he one of my favorite pieces of video this week was protesters in the gallery of the Florida legislature watching legislators pass bills like this and throwing underwear at them from the gallery as if to say, you know, get off this genital stuff, just leave it alone and go back to something productive in this state. But it's great. You see, it's on TikTok and you see all this underwear coming out of the gallery down on people's heads.
And you've heard he wants revenge on Disney for outsmarting him and getting more control over there in Orlando there. The same day he made this announcement that he was going to build a prison outside the gates of Disney World, Disneyland in California put up a Pride Night coming to in June at Disneyland in rainbow colors, all the Disney characters.
This is going to be a two-night event, June 13th and 15th, the first Pride Night. There have been gay days at Disneyland for years and years and years. First, not sanctioned by Disney and eventually tolerated by Disney. People would go and they'd wear red shirts to signify that they were LGBTQ, and that's how they'd meet each other when the event was not approved by Disney. Now Disney itself, having the time of its life, I must say, by opposing DeSantis, has announced this big Pride Night event. They're going to, the first few hours of the evening there, everybody will be together in the park at Disneyland. And then they're going to shut the park down and make it exclusively for an after hours event for this Pride Night.
Disney after hours sounds kinky.
It does. DeSantis thinks he can get the legislature to somehow repeal Disney's control over its district in Disney World in Florida. But the fact that he's getting up and talking about building competing parks or prisons just shows how impotent his threats are.
Well, the pro-DeSantis PAC is running an ad attacking Trump as a gun grabber, soft of the Second Amendment, as opposed to what else Trump grabs. As in every Republican at the NRA convention wanted no restrictions on guns. Governor Kristi Noem famously said, my two-year-old granddaughter has got a gun and a rifle, a shotgun and a rifle. Trump, meanwhile, ran an ad versus DeSantis of a man eating chocolate pudding, using his fingers. It's so elevated.
And that's what DeSantis did. He ate chocolate pudding with his fingers.
And hammered home the point that DeSantis has his fingers in getting your Social Security and your Medicare.
Nice.
But then there's Donald Trump Jr.
Well, wait a minute. Before we get to him, Florida is fighting back, and Equality Florida and other LGBTQ organizations in Florida are staging a big event this Friday, a big walkout across the state. Hundreds of colleges and high schools, students are going to walk out. They're going to have rallies across the state. And if you want to be part of this in Florida or learn more about it and support it from out of state, you can go to their website on this, walkout2learn.org, walkout2learn.org. There are rallies in, you know, walkouts all over the state, rallies already in six cities, probably growing to more. And they have written an online African-American history lesson or series of lessons that are available online because DeSantis, of course, is getting rid of them in all the schools and getting rid of all the books. So there is a big counter movement in Florida, and you can support it and get involved by going to walkouttolearn.org.
So we've been reporting on the right-wing boycott of Budweiser because they had a partnership with trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney, who has 10.8 million followers. But Donald Trump Jr., who's never shy about making baseless attacks, says conservatives have a tendency to shoot first and aim second, which has been a theme in this country this week about shooting first and asking questions later. He said execs at Budweiser were unaware of the partnership. And besides, their corporate political giving favors Republicans 60-40. So watch out, Donnie. The forces that you've unleashed will be coming after you as a pedophile supporter if you don't. And, you know, this whole business of cancellation by the right wing has been going on for years. There was a story in The Nation this week about Bob Hope getting canceled after he came out for gun control and for gay rights. I didn't know he had a lesbian daughter who worked with him. Maybe you did.
Oh, you're way late. Linda Hope has been talked about as a lesbian for decades.
Right. And so, you know, the White House under Ronald Reagan started to ice him out. And he was such a Republican favorite in many ways. And he, you know, he couldn't get an appointment with the president anymore. Sometimes he made anti-gay jokes in his routine. And when he did one, GLAAD took him on and he responded by making a PSA that we ran on this program for many years. Here it is.
I'm proud to live in this great free country, and I'm proud of our commitment to free speech, and I'm proud of our country's commitment to protecting the rights of its citizen to work and live free from bigotry and violence. That's why I was amazed to discover that many people die each year in anti-gay attacks and thousands more are left scarred emotionally and physically. Bigotry has no place in this great nation, and violence has no place in this world, but it happens. Prejudice hurts, kills. Please don't be a part of it.
You're here.
Maybe we ought to start running that regularly again, and so should other stations. It's very contemporary. Well, he was very supportive of people with AIDS and got involved with Elizabeth Taylor and the movement, and Reagan and Nancy Reagan didn't like that either. And he did get shunned and iced out by the White House after being, you know, Mr. Wonderful for so long. But people are, in addition to Donald Trump Jr., others in the GOP have decided to call off the Budweiser boycott because they support Budweiser does finance all these right wing candidates, as do many, many, many corporations that claim to be our friends. The GOP is backing down from the Budweiser boycott. And Llano, Texas, has decided that it will not close its libraries after all. So, you know, there's a little pushback is working.
Right. We should say, I mean, a judge ordered them to restore just 12 banned books, and they were ready to just shut down all the libraries. And they backed off that. This is a county where Trump won 80% of the vote.
But it was the citizens of Llano objecting to the idea of shutting down the libraries that got them to back off. So those 80% may have voted for Trump, but they know they need libraries in their town.
Let's go to Missouri, or maybe not go to Missouri. The Republican Attorney General there, Andrew Bailey, we have a picture of him, has unilaterally issued an emergency regulation using some kind of a consumer protection law to require that minors who undergo undergo years of mental health education before they can access gender-affirming care, calling the treatments fraudulent and unlawful and experimental. Doctors have to show the minor has persistent gender dysphoria for 3 years and therapy for 18 months. Now, Lambda and the ACLU are critical and may sue, and the legislature is poised to ban such care anyway and require youth to detransition if they've transitioned. The cruelty doesn't end. And it turns out the emergency rule applies to all, not just minors.
Yeah, no, he's going after everybody. I would like to think this is a tsunami that is hitting but is going to disappear in the foreseeable future. But I am sometimes too optimistic. Montana, the legislature passed a bill that medical practitioners can refuse aid, all medical help to anyone they want on the grounds that they have a religious objection. Doctors, pharmacists, nurses, hospitals, anybody can just reject anybody for those religious reasons. And Arkansas passed a law that pharmacists specifically can. This is good news. Let's not get to that yet. Save that. Never mind.
There are like almost 500 of these anti-LGBTQ bills, most of them anti-trans. And, you know, go to the ACLU.org and check it out, what's going on in your state. And as they are in Florida, fight them.
All right. Let me give you the list of some good ones. There was a bill proposed in Florida to ban the flying of pride flags. That has died. The ACLU and the Gilbert Baker Foundation are conducting a campaign all across the nation called Save the Rainbow to fight these proposed laws in states everywhere. And they're, as you see, having a little success.
And in Colorado, Governor Jared Polis signed three bills supporting health care rights, making the state a safe haven for those seeking abortions or gender-affirming care.
In Pennsylvania, the legislature will consider a new statewide non-discrimination clause in their human rights law that covers sexual orientation and gender identity. We have been begging for that for years, or fighting for it. Well, and with the advances in the legislature and a new Democratic governor, that stands a chance.
And Washington State passed a bill protecting gender-affirming care, also protecting reproductive health care for both providers and patients.
And in Nebraska, Senator Michaela Kavanaugh is continuing with her filibuster against 7 weeks she's been going now filibustering on the floor of the legislature in Nebraska with some new recruits helping her. We told you last week or the week before about Megan Hunt, her colleague who has a trans child, and started talking about that and joined the filibuster. So that is continuing.
And they can't get anything done. She's filibustering every bill. She's saying, I'm just not going to stand for it.
Yeah.
But in Mississippi, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit there confirmed that Mississippi's anti-sodomy law is unconstitutional 2 decades after Lawrence v. Texas. Mississippi continued to enforce it by requiring people convicted under it to register as sex offenders. And the Center for Constitutional Rights took them on. And now Mississippi owes the center $400,000 in court costs.
Well, Mississippi doesn't have a lot of money, so it's not going to be good for them. But they're not the only state that has tried to find ways to enforce sodomy laws that are unconstitutional, and police stings continue.
Like succeed in court.
Which is why we support the legal organizations that are doing so much of this basic grassroots work. And in Arkansas, now we can tell the good news, the legislature of Arkansas passed a bill that pharmacists can prescribe HIV PrEP and PEP medications, pre-exposure prophylaxis and post-exposure prophylaxis, sort of a morning after pill if you've had unprotected intercourse, or pre-exposure if you know you're going to have dangerous or risky sex.
All right. President Biden has revived the President's Committee on the Arts and the Humanities. It was dissolved during the Trump administration because everybody resigned after Charlottesville, and he talked about white supremacists as very fine people. So the committee members, he appointed Lady Gaga and out gay movie producer Bruce Cohen as the co-chairs. It's also got George Clooney and Troy Hotzer and Jennifer Garner among those. Bruce Cohen produced films such as Milk, about Harvey Milk, American Beauty, To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, which was a drag queen road comedy. And on TV, he's the guy who produced When We Rise, the miniseries about the gay movement in San Francisco based on Cleve Jones's memoir. The committee's job is to advise the president on cultural policy.
The White House also announced a special line on the National Crisis Hotline for LGBTQ youth. If you call the National Crisis Hotline, which is just 988, and then press 3, you will be connected directly to LGBTQ youth specialists who are trained in dealing with specific issues. So that's 988 and then press 3 on the National Crisis Hotline.
Okay. I have a correction from last week. I said Ron Wyden was from Washington State. He's, from, of course, from Oregon. And he does want the FDA to ignore the court ruling against abortion rules.
And we're happy to see that Senator Tammy Baldwin is running for reelection in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's going to be an interesting state next year. But I don't know. Yeah, there's Tammy out happily campaigning for something. I can't read the signs. Maybe for herself. And then we can celebrate the reelection campaign of George Santos in New York, who officially announced he's running.
I wasn't even going to mention it because no one is supporting him.
No, but it'll be fun to watch.
So that horrible judge, Matthew Kaczmarek, we have a picture of him, the judge who tried to outlaw abortion pills nationwide. And you may know more about this than we do once the show airs later in the week, about what the Supreme Court did about that. But during his confirmation, he hid his authorship of a vicious anti-trans article when his nomination was up. It was called The Jurisprudence of the Body, published by the Texas Review of Law and Politics that he used to edit as a student. It attacked Obama for protecting trans patients and people seeking abortions. He took his name off the article, but he wrote it. And the article denounced medication abortion. Physicians cannot use scalpels to make females of what God created male. You have to disclose not just things your name is on, but that you edited, and he did not. Impeach him.
Well, this is all, it turns out this is all part of a larger scheme to get him in this position as a judge. He wrote or edited this article. The editor-in-chief of the Law Review that published it told him to take his name off the piece. And when asked later why this editor had done that, he said, oh, wait, you'll see. And then he got Kaczmarek, or however it's pronounced, appointed to this judgeship where he is the only judge in this area.
Amarillo.
And then the right wing carried out its scheme that it's used before of writing all these lawsuits and taking them to him with his known record of being very right wing to get them and get him to grant decisions like putting a stop to the abortion medication pill. It was all a whole large scheme to put him in place, take him these cases, give him the power to make a national decision. It's astonishing.
Welcome to the modern America.
Yeah.
All right. Some better news and crime news. And that is a crime that he did. In Massachusetts, a California man who made violent anti-LGBTQ related threats to the dictionary publisher Merriam-Webster over its updated gender definitions was sentenced to a year in prison by a federal court, also ordered to 3 years probation and mental health treatment. This guy, Jeremy Hansen, pleaded guilty to transmission of threatening communications, also in connection to the president of the University of North Texas, the ACLU, Amnesty International, Hasbro, and a non-binary rabbi.
Busy guy.
Ray Merriam-Webster, he twice threatened to shoot and bomb their headquarters, causing them to close their offices in Springfield, Massachusetts, and New York City for several days.
These guys have too much time on their hands.
And too many guns.
And too many guns, and they're watching too much Fox News. In Lansing, Michigan, LGBTQ-themed murals on public walls have been repeatedly defaced with violent homophobic slogans. Lansing keeps replacing them. I think they had to place some cameras up there, but they have not yet found the perpetrator.
Here's a blow to the Stop the Steal movement. The far-right founder of it, Ali Alexander, we have a picture of him, there he is on the left. He is now accused by two men of coming on to them when they were teenage boys, asking for nude pics from a 17-year-old and pressuring a 15-year-old to have sex with him. Now, some of this exposure comes from, of all people, Milo. Alexander is buddies with the white supremacist anti-LGBTQ campaigner Nick Fuentes, the famous white supremacist who Trump had lunch with, who tried to cover for him. Alexander says, "I'm struggling with same-sex attraction," which has never been an excuse for sexual harassment. And now Marjorie Taylor Greene calls Alexander and Fuentes disgusting.
Well, today's update was that Alexander has apologized for this. But in part because Milo Yiannopoulos is mad at him for using his name. So there's a lot of infighting going on at the dregs of the right-wing movement. In New York City.
Go ahead.
Now, you're more on top of this than
I am. So the third suspect in the drugging murders of gay men leaving bars was arrested. Jaquan Hamilton, 35, apprehended this week. His confederates there, the other two, were arrested previously in the murders of Julio Ramirez and John Umberger. Police say Hamilton was the mastermind of the operation. The arrests were announced by Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg, joined by Mayor Adams and the police commissioner, Keechaunt Sewell. And, of course, you know, you had Jim Jordan in New York trashing us over crime in New York. Well, it's we're on top of it. Go away.
In California, you remember the Menendez case, the brothers who killed their parents claiming that they'd been sexually abused. And there was some skepticism about that, but they're in jail. Well, now a former member of the Menudo singing group, young men, claims that Menendez's father sexually attacked him, raped him. This was 20 years ago. So there's some question about whether they can pursue any kind of lawsuit at this point.
They're trying to get another trial, aren't they?
And this is all related now to a three-part series about to air on Peacock called Menendez and Menudo, Boys Betrayed.
All right. Some more positive news.
Sure.
Trans activist, journalist, and economist Imara Jones was named to the Time Magazine's Time 100 list of the most influential people of 2023. She's also won Emmy and Peabody Awards for her work. She's the host of The Last Sip, a weekly half-hour news show focusing on millennials of color, especially women and LGBTQ people.
And also some potential good news. The in Virginia, the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, sitting en banc, the entire court, has agreed to take up cases from North Carolina and West Virginia on whether government health plans can ban trans coverage or whether they are mandated to offer coverage for trans medical care. So that sort of looks like it might be a good thing.
In more crime news, a Black trans woman, Ashley Burton, 37, was killed in Atlanta during a domestic dispute on April 11th. She was born in Augusta, South Carolina. She moved to Atlanta to pursue a career as a hairstylist and makeup artist and was described as an important force in the industry, also an accomplished cook and singer pianist. She fled her assailant and sought help from neighbors, but had been mortally wounded. The assailant, last I heard, is at large.
And in Lawton, Oklahoma, out gay Clay Stevens, possibly gender nonconforming, not entirely clear, shot dead by a sex partner in another violent attack. And by the way, the NRA convention was taking place last week, beginning of this week, whatever. All the Republican potential candidates showed up. Not one word about guns. All their speeches were about trans issues in the midst of all these shootings.
Well, that, you know, and at least in the case of Clay Stevens, by the way, they have a suspect who's wanted for first degree murder.
Yeah.
Shot Clay in the face. A friend of the perpetrator said, oh, he just wanted to beat up Clay, but he got out of control and shot him.
Oh, thanks. In San Diego, California, a trans woman, Christina Frost, has been awarded $275,000 in compensation. She was incarcerated in a men's section of a prison for some minor offense. Three guys jumped her, beat her up viciously, broke her jaw, and she has now received
I should have talked about this earlier. It's the children's hour in Tennessee, and I'm not referring to the Republican antics in the legislature. There's a bill now to let students report professors who teach divisive concepts such as biases, white privilege, and racism. Racism's role in slavery. It passed the House and the Senate. So there, you know, it requires universities to allow any guest speaker, regardless of nonviolent political ideology or nonviolent political party affiliation. So you could have the Nazi Party, I guess, which ought to, if they're nonviolent now, I don't know. I don't think so. Anyway, they ought to ban the Republican Party because it's become quite the violent party.
Would they welcome us as speakers?
That's just insane.
All right.
Shall we get to our obituaries? We have a lot of them this week. Well, the top gay book editor, really, in the country, Michael Denneny, has died at the age of 80, mostly known for the LGBTQ authors he published at St. Martin's Press, from novelist Edmund White and Andrew Holleran, Randy Schultz, Big AIDS book, and the band played on. He did Divine, and among others. He also published Entezaki Shange. Did I say her name right?
You did.
For Colored Girls. He published For Colored Girls, which was a show that she did in a book.
Yeah.
He got fired for that.
Really?
The head of the company fired him, and then they brought him back. And, of course, it was an enormously successful book at Macmillan. And then he published also the autobiography of Watergate conspirator Gordon Liddy. But when he co-founded Christopher Street Magazine in 1976, aspiring to be the gay New Yorker, sort of, Macmillan fired him for good. That was it. And he talks here in this video about what happened after that.
Thank you.
That was back in 1976. And, you know, he went.
I remember that. I remember when he was regarded as the only gay editor and was at St. Martin's.
But, you know, he started at the University of Chicago. He worked under Hannah Arendt. And at the time of his death and at this place, he was at the Politics and Prose bookstore in Washington, D.C. He was promoting his memoir On Christopher Street, Life, Sex, and Death After Stonewall, which really sounds like a terrific book.
Exactly. And is full of stories. We are going to link to that entire interview at Politics and Prose in our weekly show note. So if you want access to that, go on our website, gayusatv.org, sign up, and you'll get our weekly show note, and in this case, a link to that whole interview.
And then our old friend David Kirby died. I've known David for 40 years. He was 62 years old, a gay investigative journalist who'd been director of public information at AMFAR in the early 1990s. We have a picture of him there as a kid with Elizabeth Taylor, who he often accompanied to events. I knew him as a young politico in the 1980s as executive director of the Americans for Democratic Action and as an aide to City Council President Carol Bellamy and to David Dinkins' mayoral campaign. He wrote several books, controversially, Evidence of Harm, about whether vaccines caused autism. I wasn't fond of that one. I think that was a mistake. But he also wrote Death at SeaWorld, about the mistreatment of the animals there. When They Come for You, about how our civil liberties are being eroded. He wrote for The Advocate, Outweek, many mainstream magazines, as well as The New York Times. He was a war correspondent also. Complications from gastrointestinal surgery, survived by his husband, Carlos Jimeno.
Really seminal guy. And then there is Seymour Stein, the creator, co-founder of Sire Records in L.A. He died at 80. He was someone who really created the careers of Madonna. You see him there with Madonna and
David Byrne.
Thank you. I was going to say David, and then I lost the last name. The Ramones, the Pretenders. He was married to a woman for many years, but he realized he was attracted to men. And so he pursued that.
Came out publicly in 2017. And then there's attorney Norm Kent, the co-founder of the South Florida Gay News, dead at 73 of pancreatic cancer. He was famous as a fighter for LGBTQ rights and legalized marijuana. We have a picture of him. And a popular radio talk show host, originally from Brooklyn, grew up in Woodmere, Long Island, just like Harvey Milk, became an advocate for runaway and homeless youth after interviewing boys on the Fort Lauderdale Strip who were doing sex work, eventually became partners with a guy named John Fugate, who he'd gotten off the streets. That relationship ended after 7 years, But as Kent's health declined in 2018, Fugate and his husband stepped in as caregivers. He defended countless gay men who were arrested for sex in restrooms and beaches. In his final column on March 30th, he wrote, "Keep on doing what is right. Remembering what is right is not always popular, and what is popular is not always right."
Also involved in defending people on pot arrests, and was a baseball fanatic. All right. And then there's Rachel Pollack, who was a very famous out trans activist, writer, and tarot expert. She had an amazing life. But among other things, she created the first trans superheroine for DC Comics. I love this name, Coagula.
And look at Coagula's button there. Put a transsexual lesbian on the Supreme Court.
And Rachel Pollack was a transsexual lesbian with her wife for 23 years. She had surgery in 1976, a trailblazer, but she became very, very famous among fans for her tarot expertise and was acclaimed around the world for that.
Well, her novel, Unquenchable Fire, the story of a divorced woman who was pregnant with the Messiah in a United States where miracles are commonplace, won the Arthur C. Clarke Award for Best Science Fiction Novel of 1988.
Yeah, she was a big deal. And then in L.A., David Hurles, who died at 78 after having had a stroke 15 years ago in 2008. We use this picture because he was arrested a lot. He was a legendary pornographer in the 1970s. He created Old Reliable Studios, which specialized in rough trade models. His whole thrust was to not use sort of pretty boys, but he was attracted to criminal types, particularly straight male criminal types, who he used in his pornography. And he was quite a character.
The Vice Squad was always going after him, planting drugs on him, that kind of stuff. It was awful. He did suffer for his art. His archives are at something called drummerarchives.com.
Well, the Drummer magazine, wasn't that a famous magazine? So he would have been part of that. And Chuck Williams, he founded an organization to do research on LGBTQ issues, which eventually came together with the Institute for Gay and Lesbian Strategic Studies, which had been started as a think tank to do that kind of research. I was part of that, and that was a response to the right wing having all these things like the American Enterprise Institute and the Heritage Foundation, which were just putting out reams and reams of lies and misinformation, claiming that it was good research for the right wing. And we said, you know, we've been running this movement on anecdote. We need hard facts to be able to take to people. And so Chuck Williams sponsored the merger of those organizations and created the Williams Institute at the UCLA School of Law, putting $20 million into it. And it has become a really fundamentally important organization.
His relationship with his partner, Stu Walters, started in 1967 and lasted for 56 years.
Pre-Stonewall, as we like to say. Now, you spoke at the David Carter Memorial. Is there anything you want to tell us about?
Well, you know, David Carter was, the guy who wrote the definitive book on Stonewall. And he died 3 years ago at the start of the COVID pandemic. And so they just had the memorial service at the Stonewall. His brother organized it. But what I learned about David, I knew him as an historian, and I certainly knew he had an activist bent. In Wisconsin, he played a major role in, Madison, Wisconsin, gay stuff. He had a gay cable show long before us. And he was very involved with the passage of the 1982 statewide Wisconsin gay and lesbian rights bill. the first state in the nation to do it. So I didn't know all that about him, and I learned about it at his service.
Good reason to go to memorials. All right, international news.
Yeah, Nepal, the Supreme Court has recognized same-sex marriage last month and asked the country's Ministry of Law and Justice to prepare an equal marriage law or amend existing laws to accommodate the principles of equal marriage. It came in the case of a Nepali national who married a German citizen of the same sex.
And India's Supreme Court this week started its hearings on legalizing same-sex marriage. India is about to become the most populous nation in the world, overtaking China. It's almost unbelievable when you look at their relative size, but that makes India the biggest. And the Indian government testified against legalizing same-sex marriage, making the usual arguments about it should be done by the parliament and, you know, we're a religious country and we don't want to do this. But the court, people are predicting that there's a good chance, not for sure, but a good chance that the court may, in fact, order the legalization of same-sex marriage.
It's the same court that got rid of the sodomy laws there. So, yeah, they sounded very sympathetic in the arguments, which are going to go on for some time.
Including acknowledging that gender exists along a spectrum.
Yes.
And these arguments are available on YouTube. They've been broadcast live from India, and they are available on YouTube in English if you want to watch them.
Hungary, on the other hand, passed a bill encouraging people to report anonymously same-sex couples raising children. People who contest the constitutionally recognized role of marriage in the family and those who contest children's rights to an identity appropriate to their sex at birth, Hungary, get them out of the EU.
Yes, that would be nice. Well, in Lithuania, three same-sex couples are in court suing for marriage rights. So some hope there.
FIFA, the governing body of soccer, what they call football, that forbade rainbow insignia on players at the Men's World Cup in Qatar, has been brushed back by women for their World Cup in Australia and New Zealand, which starts this summer on July 20th, insisting that the Visit Saudi tourism brand be dropped as a marquee sponsor of the event. The FIFA, you know, bosses are grumbling about it, but they did it, and Australia and New Zealand demanded it.
Well, you know that the women's soccer players are 1,000 times more radical than the men and much more out about being lesbians or whatever. So thank you to them. Uganda is a mess with their Kill the Gays bill coming to fruition any minute, we think.
And, well, go ahead.
Activist in Uganda, Kasha Jacqueline Nabugasara, published this picture and slogan, "I am married. This bill will put me to death." It's
because if you have sex more than once, you are a repeat offender. It's an insane law. Also in Uganda, six peer educators at healthcare organizations were charged with forming a criminal sexual network falsely, denied bail, subjected to forced anal exams. And this is before the more extreme law has even been signed by the dictator there, Museveni. Their government is shutting down all LGBTQ healthcare and human rights organizations in order to root out homosexuality.
I would say good luck with that if it weren't so dire and horrible. But in the Cook Islands, the parliament there has decriminalized homosexuality. There's a nice little crowd of LGBTQ activists and government officials in the middle in those matching green shirts. Is one of them the president of the Cook Islands or... and one of them is the head of the parliament, I think. So they're all out there celebrating the decriminalization.
The English actor Murray Melvin, who originated the gay role of Jeffrey in A Taste of Honey, that's a still from the film, on stage and on film with Rita Tushingham there in 1961, was a breakthrough thing, has died at the age of 90. He was in the Phantom of the Opera film in 2014 and Doctor Who spinoff Torchwood. Earlier in Stanley Kubrick's Barry Lyndon, A Taste of Honey was such a breakthrough at the time because homosexuality was still illegal there.
Yeah, he was in Torchwood, too. And a very, oh, you, I think you said that. He was a very prominent, not only actor, but director and theater archivist. So
in Canada, a teen at a Catholic high school was suspended for organizing a student walkout to protest the school's accommodating trans girls in the girls' restroom at St. Joseph's High School in Renfrew, Ontario. In class, he claimed, it's simple. Men have penises and women have vaginas, which got him called a transphobe by classmates. Now, the Liberty Coalition in Canada is suing on his behalf, a Catholic high school. The kid's name is Josh Alexander. He also insisted on dead-naming trans students. He was rather rude.
Well, it's so nice that he's being shouted down by his classmates. These kids, they're going to save us in the end if we can wait long enough. AIDS news. The New York City Health and Hospitals Corporation has opened a Pride Health Center at Metropolitan Hospital in East Harlem here in New York City. They will provide affirming, culturally competent care at this Pride Center at Metropolitan Hospital. In Australia, it looks like they're heading for zero new HIV infections in the near future because they so emphasize testing and treatment. They are really persistent and relentless about it. This country just sort of goes, maybe. But they're being very effective with it. And the report says that most of the people in this country who have died of Mpox have been Black and perhaps Latino men who have advanced HIV and therefore less strength in their immune systems to fight it. So get vaccinated still for Mpox.
All right, a couple of quick Broadway reviews. It's a busy time. The revival of Sweeney Todd at the L'Enfantin is sensational. Annaleigh Ashford as Mrs. Lovett is truly hilarious. And Josh Groban there as Sweeney is in fine song. And the other character on the left there, Gaetan Matarazzo as their assistant, makes it clear that nothing's going to harm him while he's around. This is Sondheim at his darkest and perhaps his best. It's And then there's Fat Ham. Now, this is the Black riff on Hamlet set in a backyard barbecue in North Carolina. It's the gayest and the funniest show on Broadway by James. Did we say E. James?
I don't know if it's E. James or I. James. Or
it's the American Airlines Theater. It's already won the Pulitzer Prize for its off-Broadway production at the Public. The cast is uniformly excellent, but I have to cite Marcel Spears as the Hamlet-inspired role of Juicy, who constantly surprises Nikki Crawford as his saucy mom, and Adriana Mitchell as Opal, a lesbian cousin. So it's really not to be missed.
And finally, what did you think of Shucked?
It's at the Nederlander. It's the corn-themed comedy musical with lots of LGBTQ creators. Music and lyrics by Shane McAnally and Brandy Clark, book by Robert Horn and directed by Jack O'Brien. It's a really engaging cast. And it also includes out trans, actor Alex Newell as Lulu. It's full of sharp topical humor with an edge. It's a fun evening. And it kind of tries to, bridge some of the divides in this country, but with having an awful lot of fun in the process.
Book widely anticipated, Elliot Page's autobiography, Page Boy, is going to be released on June 6th at, he has an event June 6th at Town Hall in New York City as the kickoff to his national tour, talking about the book and his life. I think that's going to be a popular book. Billy Porter is now going to star in a biopic of James Baldwin. How do we feel about that casting?
I don't know yet. He's a good actor.
Yeah, he certainly is. He is not only starring, but is co-writing and co-producing, and has talked a lot about Baldwin being an important role model for him. He says he stands on Baldwin's shoulders and intends to do this to expand Baldwin's legacy for generations to come.
I think it can work because he has a lot of Baldwin's anger, his righteous anger.
I think it can work if he's sort of controlled about that, or, you know, is doing Baldwin and not all Billy Porter. Right. And I love Billy Porter, and I loved him in the Pose. But I'll be interested to see this. Saturday Night Live this last week had their out non-binary actor Molly Kearney do a bit in the news part of the show, giving this whole riff on trans kids and what's happening to them. It was really quite effective and impressive.
Check it out.
Yeah,
and maybe into it. What's the new Almodovar film?
The Almodovar film is a short gay Western that is a it's an answer to Brokeback Mountain. And it's being shown in May at the Cannes Film Festival. It stars Pablo Pascal, who is the flavor of the month, and Ethan Hawke, who both of whom you see there. It's just 30 minutes long, and it's about the Brokeback characters reuniting after 25 years. They don't look 25 years older than the Brokeback actors, but
one of them got killed.
Well, yes. So we'll see how Almodovar works that out.
They're going to play about it in London.
He's always fascinating. I would give him the benefit of the doubt.
All right.
And finally, at the LGBTQ Center here in New York on this Friday is the Rainbow Book Fair. This Saturday from noon to 6 p.m. They used to hold this and then COVID canceled it. So this is a revival, the first one of these in 3 years. They have about 100 vendors. It's free, although you can make donations. They're going to have a drag story hour. They're going to have panel discussions, authors who will sign books. The theme is weird and queer.
As we go out, the site of playwright Terrence McNally's childhood home in near St. Petersburg, Florida, is being dedicated with a plaque on May 7th by Equality Florida with his husband, Tom Curtahy. That looks terrific there.
Yes, it does. All right. I think we got to everything this week, but there'll be lots more next week, and we'll see you then.
Bye-bye.